Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the dark, I play my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, P-I-M-P, I'm the king. Wrapping love in everything. Bring a change.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to episode 295 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Well, how you doing, son?
Pretty good, Dad. How are you?
I'm good as always. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMACO. Check them out. Also, Living Soil Foundation. Look, that's the foundation we started to clean up Western North Carolina, folks. This place is still a mess. We were out there filming, I think it was yesterday and the day before. And, folks, it looks like it happened yesterday. The needle isn't moving all that much. And we're going to get to what you guys are doing today. The needle is not moving much at all. So, Living Soil Foundation, we're working on the website. We're just about there. We're just trying to do everything in between the raindrops. Well, want to give a shout out also to Renewed Homestead, Denise. She's over there moderating. You know the deal, y'all. Don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. Want to thank all y'all for coming in tonight. And as you can see, William isn't remote. He's actually in the studio with me. So, glad to have him here and glad to have all of you out there. If you haven't already, please hit that thumbs up. I know we normally do this on Monday, but he was tied up yesterday and he couldn't get here. We were going to do it on Monday, but he couldn't get here yesterday. So he got here today. So here we are. It's Tuesday, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I keep asking the same thing.
Yeah. I know every day feels like Monday. So here we are. We're going to jump right into it. And folks, if you have any questions, please put them in all capital letters because I can't see anything with these birth control glasses on. So, So anyway, what have you been up to, man? What are you out doing?
I went all the way from Texas to New York, upstate New York, just south of Utica, to do a permaculture consultation. So for those of you wondering, yes, I will travel to do a permaculture consultation. And what's cool is that I have a friend that's actually apprenticing with me. So he's going to learn and he's going to learn how to do permaculture consultations. He's going through the Jeff Lawton PDC right now, getting him trained up so that way two of us can tackle this. And then we hit Pennsylvania first, and then we hit New York. Last night we were in West Virginia, not actually far from the disaster zone. And then funny story, the reason we didn't do it last night is because left West Virginia and I left my laptop and my backpack at the Airbnb or the lodge that we were staying at. Thankfully we still had friends staying there, so like I wasn't worried about housekeepers or anything stealing that. Got all the way to North Carolina, got to the bank, and then realized, like, oh, crap, I don't have my backpack or my laptop. So I had to drive all the way back to West Virginia. And, yeah, that's the delay. That's the reason for the delay. And what's crazy is that I double-checked. Every time I leave, I always double-check everything that I have to make sure I have everything that I need. And this time I double-checked, got everything ready, got distracted last minute, and then forgot to grab the backpack. I don't even know what happened.
Wow. Most important thing. Well, yeah, I guess you'll know next time. And it's a good thing you were at a place where you know, somebody isn't going to, you know, rob you. So, yeah, I mean, thank the Lord for that. So, I mean, how are these consultations going? I mean, what are they consisting of? I mean, when you typically do a consultation these days, are you drawing up a plan? Are you doing a walkthrough? What exactly does that look like?
So it's a little combination of both. And the classic permaculture answer is it depends. It depends on the type of landscape that you have. So the one that I did in upstate New York was actually just raw land. And mostly what we did for that was determine possible house sites. We did some water dowsing. So we found possible well locations as well. Where to put the driveway, depending on which house site he decides. And then some, he wasn't too big into doing the grazing or the like traditional homesteading type thing, but we're coming up with some plans for his property there. So what I do is I go to somebody's property, I come back home, I go walk the property, answer any questions that they might have, take notes, and then I get home and then I write up an order of operations. So an order of operations is what to do, where to do it, and when to do it, and specifically in what order to do it. So I try to design them in a way where you're learning small tasks at a time and you're building on those tasks as you go. Because the number one reason, in my experience, the number one reason homesteaders quit, especially brand new ones, is because they get way too many things going on way too early and they're not taking the proper baby steps. So
yeah, and I'm glad you pointed that out, is that these things, because I know we got a lot of new people in this space out here and we got some, you know, some veterans out there. And, you know, we made that same mistake when we first got into this. I mean, you do way too much too quick. And then before you know it, you got a project over here that's about two thirds done. You got one over here that's half done. You got another one. You got projects scattered all over. And then meanwhile, you're trying to put out fires because let's say you got animals that need attention or they need moving or they need whatever. Folks, that is the number one thing that screws up most homesteads is doing too much too quick. And that's what you're there to help them to avoid.
To simplify it, you're purchasing mistakes. You're purchasing my mistakes, dad's mistakes, because you know he's my dad. I grew up and watched all of our mistakes. So yeah, that's what you're doing. You're purchasing and you're skipping those mistakes. You don't have to make the same ones I've made or that dad has made or anything like that. You can make new ones, which is awesome.
Well, and then hopefully, you know, it's like in Da Vinci's notebooks, he wrote, you know, it's a poor pupil that does not surpass his master. And that's really the benefit. That's why generationally things should get better because you have the benefit of the joint wisdom of all the people before you, if you're smart enough to do it. I mean, there's a reason why I call this place the United States of Amnesia. Thanks, Gore Vidal. But, you know, there's so many mistakes that we don't have to make on these homesteads. Now, let me ask you, I made the case that, somebody's asking, Billy, what do you charge? Hey, folks, I don't do it. I under no circumstances will I do any consultations. I have the wrong temperament for the trade. I promise you that. Even when I'm doing work for free, like I am right now with this Living Soil Foundation, I struggle. At times I have the patience of Job when it comes to animals. I can make sheep and chickens. I'm like a sheep whisperer, and yeah, I really ought to do a video on that. And a chicken whisperer.
I've seen it.
Yeah. And I've done videos on them in the past. I mean, I have the patience of Job when it comes to animals, but I do
She's
not
asking what I charge too.
Oh, okay. Well that's definitely not for me, but people throw a lot of money at me to try to get me to do these things, and I'm not coming out of retirement, folks. I got way too much. I have to do free work. I mean, honestly, this Living Soil Foundation is really taking it out of me in a wonderful way. I mean, you ever notice that the things you do for free are always way more beneficial than the things you do for money? And that's what this thing's turning out to be for me. So as far as that project over there, we got Dr. Will. He's going to be coming back in here before long and letting us know, did we cross the finish line? Are we getting close? Or how are we looking? And despite all this cold weather, you know, he's going to come back and scan it and let us know where we are on that. And I'll be sure to let you guys know exactly where we are in that continuum. But yeah, back to you, son, regarding some of that stuff. I don't know if you talk about that. I mean, it's probably dependent on a number of things.
It does depend, but generally it's half of Joel Salatin's speaking fee. That's what I charge.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it depends on location, acreage, and stuff like that. But yeah, generally it's half of his speaking fee.
And also, you know, you got to travel to get there. I mean, I mean, that's going to take something too. And there's not a whole lot of people that are willing to, you know, when it comes to this sort of thing, there's a whole lot of people in this space. And folks, I'm not trying to diss other permaculture designers out there, but there's a whole lot of people in this space that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit.
Yeah.
They can tell you, they can look at a book and say, oh, you know, hey, this, they know all this theoretical stuff. And then when you look at them and you see the work they do or don't do, when it comes to putting their hands on a project, they've never actually done anything.
The guy that I'm training right now has more hands-on experience than, I can confidently say he has more hands-on experience than every other consultant that I've met in the United States.
And that's, and that means tons. And this is exactly what Joel talks about so many times, that, you know, people go out there, they get a permaculture design certificate. And like I always said, in the electrical trade, we say the only thing dumber than a first-year apprentice is a first-year journeyman. So these people go through, they get a permaculture design certificate, then they go out here and tell this old boy that's got 40, 50 years of experience that he's doing it all wrong, but they don't have any tangible experience of their own to tell them how to do it right.
Yep.
They're just telling them, hey, you're doing it all wrong. And in most cases, in they are, but they have no gravitas out there to tell them how to do it right or what's going on.
Yeah, and they also, like a lot of new, brand new permaculture consultants, expect these like 40, 50, 60 year old farmers to immediately make that transition. That's not the case. And even in the permaculture design manual, it's expected there to be a 5 to 7 year transition from commercial farming, commercial ag to permaculture, because it does take a transition. You can't just do that overnight. There's retooling involved. There's a change in process. There's timing that you now have to figure out, new timing. There's a lot of different systems that you have to refigure out.
And then let's also consider your animal systems. They may have been on a lot of crutches.
Yeah.
And given that, if that is in fact the case where these animals were on a ton of crutches and, well, you know what? I mean, the gestation period of, let's say, a sheep is 4.5 months. Well, that's going to take some time to change that around. Or let's say you got stock that just ain't going to make it under new management strategies. It takes all these different things. So,
or the biggest crutch, subsidies.
Ooh, yeah.
Because if you don't show that you're maintaining, and I've dealt with this in Oklahoma, if you don't show that you are, like, you don't have the land in production, so if you let your land rest, you don't get covered that year.
Yeah, and that's, see, man, this is one of the things I'm hoping. Look, I'm waiting, I suppose, with bated breath to a certain degree regarding this new administration, and you know, some good things have happened. I will admit that. I know people come down on me because, oh, you're coming down on Trump. Well, I came down on Biden. Look, I'm a libertarian, so I crap on both sides, okay? If you're doing good, I'm going to say, hey, that's a good thing. If you're doing bad, I'm going to let you know about that too. And one of the things that I think, look, you're going to get more of whatever you subsidize.
Yeah.
And you're going to get less of whatever you tax. So when you're sitting here offering subsidies to do it the worst way in the world is going to put more soil down the Mississippi, well, you're going to get more people farming that way. And that's not what we need. So I'm hoping that they actually listen to Joel in this new administration. We'll see. I'm not entirely hopeful, but hey, I've seen some good things so far. I've seen some really bad things too, and I'll keep calling those things out. So folks, the ones that are breaking my chops, like, oh, he just got in, or, yeah, you're making my point for me, by the way. He just got in, but somehow gave $500 billion to a bunch of oligarchs that were already wealthy. So, try to defend that one.
Yeah, Tammy Hill says land should rest every 7 years. In fact, you can have it rest way more frequently than that. You can have it in almost a constant rest period minus one day per year if you're grazing the way Joel Salatin does. Most of the land that he grazes his cattle on only gets hit for, it only has animals on it for one day per year. So it can actually rest way more frequently for 7 years and actually have increased yields.
Absolutely. And like you said, there's other ways. I mean, you got high density grazing, you got just standard mob grazing. I mean, there's so many different types of grazing you can do on these things. But like you were saying, when you go out here and you do a consultation for somebody, you gotta understand that there is a transitory period mm-hmm. that it's going to take, first of all, for these people to understand. And second of all, I think, honestly, this is where having a permaculture design certificate really comes into play, because it, like you said, it only gives you the right questions to ask or know which ones that are just not right. Okay, we got a question right over here. Dancing Waters Okay. I can't read the rest of that, but we're trying hard to make some of the mistakes here since Helene. We're using geomodeling and studying historical floods slash
slide scars.
Slide scars to help our neighbors resituate structures lost.
You want me to read these, Dad?
Yeah, you might have to, man, because with these glasses, it's touch and go. Well, you know, I would also I've gotten a little bit of heat from this. In fact, I had a guy cuss me out this last week when I'm going to be at the Organic Grower School conference, I think, coming up next month. And I'm part of a panel, a permaculture panel that's going to be there. And there's one of the guys that's on there that basically has told me, I can't repeat what he said to me in this. What was it? This happened just last week, y'all. This last week, where he said, you're bat blank crazy for thinking that, and this is to your point, Dancing Waters, that I would even suggest that this wasn't climate change. And I'm like, dude, how much evidence do you need that this was an engineered storm? I mean, Yes, we have. And it was like T over at Mountain Readiness said, he said, it blows my mind how people will believe that we can do a test tube, baby. We got rockets that go into space. We got all these different things, but you think we can't control the weather? Even though it's openly admitted, declassified. I mean, watch the documentary, The Dimming. And so anyway, to your point regarding some of these things, the historical models were blown away. I mean, like when you break a record.
By feet, not inches.
I mean, like tens of feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like on another level. And we had NEXRAD radar, you know, towers. How do you prepare for that? And then we have mysterious hurricanes tornadoes happening within this hurricane that are on the wrong sides of mountains. Hurricanes are look, I grew up in Oklahoma, y'all. Okay. Tornadoes almost always come from southwest and northeast. These things were going the opposite way, even though the hurricane was going southwest, was generally going north. But how does that even happen? Yeah, nobody's got answers to some of this stuff. Well, some of us do.
And it's random. Like just today I was driving through like Black Mountain and Swannanoa, and you can see on the mountains just it looks like random air bursts, like little bombs went off on these mountains where you see like perfectly fine trees, and then you'll see like the circle of fallen trees and landslide. And then you'll see that again in another random location. But anywhere you go around these mountains, you see just random like circles. It's not like it's even a path. It's just random circles of fallen trees and landslides.
Homestead Twins in the house, and Bill Zegley, Tommy Hill, Dancing Wolves, Nephilim Ninja of Nibiru. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's not a... Okay, somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm a Nephilim Ninja of Nibiru. You got my full respect. Nobody will be messing with you, okay? Yeah, I guarantee nobody's going to be playing any games with you. But you see the same things headed in Johnson City.
Yep.
That's exactly. Look, and honestly, the needle hasn't moved one bit. I know Trump came to town and said, yeah, we're going to give you all a whopping $2 billion. Well, folks, the money hasn't gotten here yet.
I can vouch for that. There has been no... Like, really, the only improvements that have been made is by volunteers that came from out of state. That's it.
We went out there yesterday on the site that we're working on for the Living Soil Foundation. And, you know, we're out there, obviously, once a week, whenever we can, whenever the weather is not freezing. And yesterday was really nice. We went out there to go fill up the tanks, get it all ready to rock and roll. And honestly, y'all, I go out there weekly. The needle does not move.
No.
It doesn't move. I mean, nobody's in here removing any of the debris. Like I said, I grew up in Oklahoma. And believe me, we know what tornadoes look like. In Oklahoma, this whole thing would have been, it's been months. And I'm telling you, I was there, you were there at the May 3rd tornado in Oklahoma City, or Moore, Oklahoma, actually. It's still tech, I mean, it's Oklahoma City, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, that thing went through and scraped off nearly every house that thing came across. And it was cleaned up like it never even happened in a fraction of the time. Here, it's like the needle never even moved one bit. So,
yeah,
folks, I don't know where that $2 billion went, but it didn't come here. I can guarantee that. And if it did, you know, maybe they're treating that money the same way they do in Ukraine, you know, where they don't actually do anything with it. And
Yeah, I'm curious. I wonder if Doge will like investigate what happens with that relief aid, because I want to know who's holding on to that $2 billion, because nothing is being done. The same rate of improvement. Actually, it slowed down. There were more improvements going on immediately after the disaster than what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still, the needle isn't moving one bit. And like speaking of Doge, I wrote on, look, there's a little phenomenon going on right now on Twitter. And if you want to check me out, it's at permapastors on Twitter, or what do we call that now? X. Yeah. So if you're critical, look, and there's a number of others out there that, in the same space I am, if you're critical of Trump or anybody around him, Elon Musk, believe me, they're going to shadow ban the crap out of you. And that's exactly what's going on.
There's more censorship now than there was with the previous owner of Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more censorship with certain parts of us. Yeah. There's more censorship going on right now. And part of it was, I was like, hey, Elon, you think you can find out where, you think you can find out who's paying for all these chemtrails? You call any of these people out and, or just ask a serious question. I think that's one of the deals that Trump made, is that they stop criticism of him, or they shadow ban the people that are critical of him, because that's definitely come to a halt. Look, I mean, this is not supposed to be, communist Russia, y'all. We're told these are free speech platforms, but they aren't. So just know that. But I put a lot of stuff over on Twitter when I get a chance, and any random thoughts or, things about these matters. Well, anyway, so you're out doing your consultations, and you're out doing, rocking and rolling, moving along. What's some of the common areas? I mean, for the people that are out here right now, it wouldn't hurt to give away some free advice.
Yeah.
What are the biggest pitfalls you're seeing regarding people that are in this space?
The absolute number one pitfall is getting way too many, animals way too early. That's the number one pitfall. The second pitfall is making way too big of a garden, because the hardest part about gardening isn't planting. It's not maintaining. It's putting away the harvest before it goes bad. That's the second one. The third one is not getting your living situation squared away first. So you see it over and over and over again. And I can only think of a handful of times, actually Renewed Helmstead being one of them, handful of times where they get animals before they get their home squared away. And then they actually finish their homes, like their actual home. They actually make it livable. So just a word of caution, if you are looking to get into homesteading, fix your home, get your home squared away first, and then introduce animals. Because it's just 9 times out of 10, it's not going to get squared away unless you get your home squared away first.
Yeah, and everybody feels like, I think is what I see going on, we were talking about this when we were eating dinner a little while ago, and it's like the phenomenon that I told y'all was going to happen. I said it maybe a year ago. I said, if Trump gets in the office, what's going to happen?
Yep.
Everybody's going to acquiesce. Off. Yep. Everybody's going to go right back into the matrix. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's happening in the worst way imaginable. And that's why I said, all you folks that are looking for land and you feel like you can't find it, just hold steady, because all these people that heard of Alan Jackson song and decided they're going country, well, they're going, I don't think he had another verse in that song that said anything about going back to the city, but that's exactly where they're going. A lot of these folks. So you're going to find out that there were so many people that got into this for all the wrong reasons, for fearful reasons, and you're probably going to be able to swipe that land up with a butterfly net here before long, because everybody thinks, and now, they're talking about a $5,000, I think it's going to be basically a universal basic income. Call it whatever you want. I mean, Doge dividend. I don't know what they're calling it. But honestly, with every little thing, people are going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper back into the matrix.
Yep.
And so all you folks that were, I honestly, I'm going to be very transparent right now. I won't give you all the reasons, but I gave them out to you. Some of them being mathematical. Some of them being, I got to be careful about how I say this, because I'm not looking to freak anybody out. Look, yeah, there are some victories you should celebrate. But at the same time, I think we are a stone's throw away from the other shoe coming off. I won't give you all the reasons why, because these are not things I can say in a public setting right now. But all it takes, I mean, I'll put it this way. Everybody's putting all their hopes into one man. What if that one man ain't here no more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll give you that much. I mean, what if that one man is biting the hand that feeds him, so to speak, and all of a sudden, like November 22nd, 1963, and look, I'm not wishing any of this stuff out here, but I'm just saying, what if that one man ain't here anymore? What if he decides that, oh, what if like Kennedy, all of a sudden he starts thinking that he's actually running things, and then the powers that shouldn't be all of a sudden think, oh, well, we're running things. I mean, you never know. And everybody's just kind of acquiescing and they're thinking, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go back to the way things were. And you haven't yet realized that the world has changed permanently. All these jobs that are going away on a federal level and all these other ways. I mean, folks, who do you think is going to take those jobs? It's probably going to be AI. All these people in these white collar jobs that would stick their pinkies up. You know, the people with the Nouveau Almondine, thin crust, bottled water, deep fried city food kind of people. All you folks that are doing those white collar jobs and you would stick your nose up at people wearing the blue collar like me, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself on an unemployment line once they realize that they don't need you. They don't need you in the suit and tie to do something that they can have AI do. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why everybody feels the need to go back into the matrix is insanity to me, especially at this point.
Yeah. Especially right now. Like if you can look at any means of prediction, any means, and it's all pointing at the same doggone event happening. The same doggone event. If you look at prophecy, it's pointing to it. If you look at numbers, it's pointing to it. If you look at just people's gut feeling, it's pointing to it. You can talk to, like, most people that I encounter now feel like something is happening. Something is going to happen this year. So,
or like Tammy Hill says, or what if he was truly on their side to begin with? Yeah. This is, folks, I won't go into too much of it now, Tammy, but honestly, truth of it is, what I see unfolding is right out of the prints, straight from the pages of Machiavelli. And I'm like, okay, you throw pablum to the American people. Meanwhile, the first thing out of the gates you do is give $500 billion to wealthy oligarchs to continue this panopticon, this prison that we have around us. I mean, I'm talking to a couple of my electrician buddies, and these guys are loving it right now. You know why? They're all buying brand new trucks. They're all living high on the hog because right now in my local, 124 in Kansas City, everybody who wants a job, I mean, they're having hard times. They're having to raise the scale. And Kansas City is already the highest paid electrical local in the country in comparison to cost of living. And they can't even get people to fill all the jobs. Guess where they are?
Building AI?
Data centers. Going out of style. I mean, going out of style. Data center. So the notion of anybody. So what do you think, son? I mean, so that when you see all of these, David Icke really did a really good expose on this, but when you see all of these people, and for, you know, good reasons, you need to be sent on down the road, okay? You need to be sent packing. I mean, I worked in the government for a total of probably a decade when you add it all up. And they are some of the laziest. Now, you get some good people in there, too. I don't want to cast the net too wide. But you have some of the laziest brain dead life forms you've ever seen in your life.
Go to the DMV.
Well, yeah, but that's at a local level. I mean, yeah. You look at it on a federal level, especially after you get your 3 years in. I mean, when you know that you got to kill somebody to lose that job, These are some of the laziest life forms you've ever seen. Like I said, there are some people that actually put in some work. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'd say of my experience in the military and also at the VA, when I was working there as a, in Leavenworth, Kansas, some of the laziest life forms you've ever seen in your life. And they couldn't care less. Yeah, y'all need to be sent on the first thing smoking. But how do you think they fill these gaps? AI. So yep. Why on earth, my question to you is, why on earth would anybody ever consider acquiescing when you see this unfolding right in front of you? If all these people are getting canned and you know AI is going to take that job, why would you sit here and rest on your laurels?
People are hoping, they're just ignoring it because things are fine right now. People are ignoring it and they're hoping that it's just not the way they think it is. Or they're just too busy watching, keeping up with what's going on with Diddy or keeping up with what's going on with football or basketball or anything like that. Like, that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Like, where I live in Texas, you can't talk. I can think of one person, one family that I can talk to about any of this stuff. And in the entire town of DeKalb, Texas, I can talk to one family outside of like my wife. That's it. Wow. And June always listens. My daughter,
she always listens. Yeah, I got the best grandbaby in the world. No, I'm right there with you. But that's the part that's blowing my mind is we get record numbers that are going. And maybe part of this is like a lull. It's an attempt to lull people asleep. Folks, do I need to remind you of the Deagle Report? Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to go into it right now. But y'all might want to go look into what the DEAGEL report, before they scrubbed it off the internet, what it was saying about 2025. There's a lot of other things unfolding in 2025. Okay. There's certain things unfolding that I can't talk about on here. They would scrub this thing right now.
Yeah.
And you know, with the work I'm doing here in this podcast, it gives me a benefit of being able to have the ear of some people out there that have more information regarding certain things. I mean, you got other, like Steve Quayle is reporting that governments are basically rolling in the Costco's and Walmart's and taking all the frozen pizzas and stuff, saying there's a recall. There's record number of food recalls, folks. Where do you think that food's going? They're not throwing it away, okay? They're not doing that. They're not taking all the, you know, the Red Baron pizzas and stuff and putting them in the dumpster anywhere. They're not doing that. They're taking them to a lot of, I mean, by all reports, deep underground military bases. So there's a lot of this stuff. When you hear about a food recall and then you hear how it's being done and you're like, okay, you can narrow it down to a certain batch. And these things are absolutely being taken to, you know, black facilities. Why are they doing that? What do they know that you don't? All the more reason. This is Sun Tzu 101. When they're sitting here telling you everything's cool, that's all the more time that you need to repair or prepare. But so many people, and I'm talking, when I said everybody would go back into the matrix, man, I wasn't really counting on the numbers that I'm currently seeing. I mean,
I didn't expect everybody.
Yeah, I mean, well, present company,
right?
You know, obviously the people listening to this Pimpcaster, they're going to be wide awake to a certain extent. But folks, I'm telling you, this is all the more reasons why you need to double down on your preps. You know, ever since Trump got in, and I've been very critical of it. Chemtrails, notwithstanding the last 2 days, chemtrails were three times worse. And I'm being charitable at that. It's probably worse than that. Three times worse. What were they looking like in Texas? Meanwhile, I'm hearing people, there was a lady at a meeting saying, they're so delusional that she was saying, wow, have y'all noticed that the chemtrails are not near as bad? And then the whole crowd in there was like, what?
Yeah. In Texas, ever since that the Hurricane Helene, it's been sketchy in Texas, especially in East Texas. Texas is big, but in East Texas, it's been constantly hazy. It's been way colder than usual. It's not following the same pattern as typical weather in like winter in Texas. It's just odd. Like things are just very, very odd. There was a week where we were colder than you guys here in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. And here at our elevation, I mean,
yeah.
You guys are near sea level. So it's not supposed to be that way, folks.
No.
I mean, it doesn't work that way. And Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org, you know, he's left me a couple of messages, but because he's in California time, I'm on, you know, East Coast time. We have a hard time connecting sometimes, but Dane is always giving me updates like, dude, you better watch out. And 100% of the time, he's right.
Yeah.
And you can see it every single time. You know, this, like I said, the last 2 days, it's been blue. I've been out here all day long, no shirt on, nothing but shorts, bare feet, doing all the chores. I mean, it takes a little more time, but I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get as much sun as I possibly can before they decide to black it out again. And by the way, they're still spraying. They're just using a different mix because you can see it. There was a time where you could see the mountains in the distance. But now they're obstructed by this haze.
Yeah. And if you go out, I saw it this whole time. But if you go outside, go outside when it's completely dark out, and it works best if you don't have any kind of ambient light, and you shine a flashlight out, you will see all this particulate matter. It looks like snow. That's what it looks like. And then whenever we had that fog over in Texas and it smelled like it was burning, like stuff was burning outside. Like I went outside and I did the flashlight thing, and it wasn't even intentional at first. It was because I had to go put up the chickens. So I had the flashlight on and I just so happened to notice like sediment falling from the sky, or like it looked like snow or ash or something like that. And then I shine it up into the sky and it's everywhere. And now like I had a crazy headache one day. Like we were supposed to do a FaceTime so like my parents could talk to June and everything, and I couldn't do it that day. Like my head was pounding right after that. And then just recently, Emily, my wife, just had some sort of respiratory sinus issue. And then June, she had a fever for a day, could it all be coincidental? Sure. Is it? Probably not.
Not when you see everybody coming down sick right now. And of course, when they block out the sun, you're not getting the vitamin D.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only going to exacerbate things. That's why, folks, you got to stay prayed up from the feet up, because things have not. I mean, yeah, certain sectors, like I said, this is straight out of the pages of Machiavelli. They create the illusion that things are on the up and up, things are doing well. And this is the worst time in the world for you to acquiesce. I mean, think about it. Here's what I see unfolding. They're going to look, I'm just going to say it, man. And I'm beyond caring what anybody cares or says about me or thinks, or look, I really think they're going to sit here and do what they're going to do, a rope-a-dope. And what that is I really think the way this is going to go down, it's going to be something like, okay, so everybody gets this $5,000 check, and a lot of dummies are going to go out there and spend it on bubble gum, when $5,000 could feed you for a long, long time if you took some of the dogs in the hunt that we've talked about. You could use that to prepare. You can not only feed you, provide the water. It could go a long way in that. But let's say that happens. And then I honestly believe the next shoe is going to drop, because I don't think this thing goes down as easy as everybody's thinking. And I think 2025 is going to be the most tumultuous year in the I'll make this prediction. I'll tell you right now, I think 2025 is going to be the most tumultuous year in American history.
And I bet it starts after March.
I'm going to say May at the latest.
Yeah. Somewhere after the odds.
I'm going to say May at the latest. I think that's when you're going to start seeing the skates come off this thing.
Yeah.
So what am I here just to deliver bad news? No, the idea is, what's the motto of this show? Stay alert, stay alive. And I've seen so many people. And like I said, I mean, it doesn't do me any good to say, hey, I predicted this. I mean, anybody, you didn't have to be Edgar Cayce to figure this out, but it happens every single time. But now I think it's going to be more consequential than ever, especially when most people are going to be caught with their pants down.
And don't use this as a reason to just bury your head in the sand and pretend it's not happening, because out of fear, there are solutions. They're like, you can start growing your own food, for example. That makes you very independent, not having to rely on the food system. If you have questions, you do not have to get a consultation. You can email me and ask questions. I will help you as much as I can via email. There are some things I just can't help you with. There's just some things, without being on your property, I just can't help you with. But I can at least show you where to go to find the information. If I don't have the information, if Dad doesn't have any of the information, but then we can definitely figure out where to go to get the information. So like, we're here to help. I'm here to help. Use it.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and at the same time, I'm going to try to get back more to doing more permaculture videos, because I think it's going to be more. I've been so upset about this whole, you know, this chemtrailing and all this stuff going on. I've been kind of a one trick pony on that. And I've talked about it, you know, publicly here in this platform, but honestly, I'm going back to my roots, and I'm going to start talking more about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, you know, the stuff we've been known for. And I'm going to try to do more and more of that. But really, folks, I mean, there's other things that I was talking to you and Michael and your mom about a little bit ago regarding, there is no way I could say that right here, right now, as far as what I think is going to unfold in this year and the reasons why.
Yeah.
Like King Solomon said, you know, in Ecclesiastes, you know, even the Beatles made a song about it, to everything turn, turn, turn. You know, there is a reason, turn, turn. I hate that Beatles song. I can't stand the Beatles anyway.
Yeah, I can't stand the Beatles either. I don't get it.
Most y'all overrated
fell for a trap on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight from Tavistock. The look Beatles that up. Suck. Yeah. Most overrated band in history. But anyway.
Tinfoil Tiara saying, say it in code.
Okay. I'll try, but I don't think that I can. And I'm trying to find a way to.
Okay. I can. I got it.
Okay, but you can't say
part of it. I can say part of it. Okay, so who was the last king of France? Which number was it? Louis the 14th, 16th? What did he say right before he found the guillotine? Le sete moi, which is I am the state. Who just recently said that? There you go. Just run with that. That's in code.
Well, that's part of it, but...
And then look at the recent AI developments. Okay, never mind. This is kind of hard to say in code.
Yeah, there's things I can't there's things I honestly can't say on here, and there's certain things that I don't want to speak into existence. But I mean, you know, privately, I'm not just pulling this out of thin air, y'all. There's a reason. And like I said, if you look at some of the patterns in history, I've talked about it before, you know, Strauss and Howe, their book, The Fourth Turning. Okay. What happens in the fourth turning? Okay. That's one set of patterns there.
Yeah.
And I exposed to you several more patterns that all culminate in 2025. This isn't witchcraft. This isn't anything crazy. It's just there are patterns in nature. In fact, what do we have in permaculture?
Patterns. There's a whole chapter just talking about patterns. And if you can't understand patterns, then you're really not getting like the gist of permaculture. Once you understand patterns, then it unlocks like a whole new aspect of like, if once you understand patterns plus yields, then that really opens up the doors on what you can do with any size property.
Well, and that's another thing where you look at patterns, like look at something like the Fibonacci sequence. Okay. How many times? Okay. For those that don't know, it's real simple. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 2 = 3. 3 + 2 = 5. 5 + 3 = 8. That's called a Fibonacci sequence. Okay. Folks, do you know that the body you're in right now, your human body conforms to the Fibonacci sequence from the tip of your finger, the first joint on that finger, to the second one, to second, to the third, to the third, to the part across your wrist, and then up your arm.
Sounds like you're about to start rapping.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does sound like that, but I mean, your body conforms. This shows that there is order to the universe. Okay. A conch shell. I mean, there are so many things. The way a galaxy looks, all of it conforms to the Fibonacci sequence, which tells me, which is why the whole notion of randomness and this stuff could have ever happened. The Fibonacci sequence in nature alone makes me realize without doubt that there was a creator. Okay.
And the randomness that they depict is not true randomness. Randomness still shows a pattern. Randomness, like, okay, when you think randomness, like leaves fall from a tree. And whenever you think naturally, when you think randomness, you think like evenly dispersed leaves on the ground. That's not randomness. Randomness is it like taking all the media interacting together. So what you actually get when the leaves fall from the tree, they usually accumulate up along the side of the fence on the edge, which also is another pattern called edge effect. So that's true randomness. There's still patterns involved with it.
Right. And once you understand those patterns, well, those overlay. Could be they overlay politically.
Yeah.
They overlay historically. And then when you look at these patterns and you look at the way, there's a reason why I'm saying this, I think is going to be the most tumultuous year. Yeah, it's starting off pretty good, but you don't know that it's going to end that way. Folks, the moral to the story here is if you're one of those people that went right back into the matrix, as I said you would, just because Trump got elected and you're seeing some good things unfold, well, think about it just in terms of just, you're putting all your hope on one person.
On a man.
And the oldest president in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He seems pretty spry right now for his age. But like I said, there's ever a slip between a cup and a lip. And there ain't no way I'm going back into the matrix. So if you want to go back in there, you knock yourself out. But honestly, I think you're making a profound mistake by doing that. All right. You know, before I forget, I want to get into, we got some events coming up. We got Farm Connection that's coming up. Well, Farm Connection actually has a 10% discount with promo code PERMA. They ship, so you might want to check them out. Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off right now. Coming up March 18th through the 22nd, we got Shalom Temple's five-day immersion event. Barbara O'Neill's going to be there. Jonathan Otto's going to be there. A number of others are going to be there. And I believe they're even selling day tickets right now. So you want to be able to get in there. That's, man, it's going to be right around the corner before you know it, March 18th through the 22nd. When's the Ides of March? yeah, it's going to be a little bit before that, the 15th. So, yeah, I'm saying May. I guess you said March.
I think that's when things are going to begin happening, is in the Ides of March. That's just, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope everything we have said is wrong.
Well, regarding these patterns, yeah, I'm hoping and praying I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think I am. I mean, but hey, when it comes to, there's a reason why right now, folks, regarding this event, March 18th through the 22nd, there were things regarding a health nature that I used to be able to say right here on YouTube. I can't say them anymore. I mean, things that I've said numerous times, which has led me, and then when I look at the overall pattern regarding other things, it makes me, well, it's honestly led me to the conclusion that the one of the very next big things that might unfold is probably going to be of a health nature, because they're doing everything they can to shut this event down. And I mean, like, screwing up the websites, doing everything they possibly can to mess this thing up. Folks, I mean, this is things that I've been able to talk about right here on this channel, on YouTube. I can't say it anymore. They will cut this feed and they'll make this video unavailable.
Yeah.
So like I said, that's okay. Look what's happened with the chickens right now. This is the most, even though Joel is reluctant to call it a conspiracy, it's exactly what it is. So if you got a bunch of animals and let's say one of them gets the flu, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you cull that animal if he made it through the flu? Or would you reproduce that animal, because
you reproduce the crap out of that animal? That's exactly what you do.
You don't cull the animals. So let's say they all got bird flu. Okay. The dumbest thing you can do, and this is your government for you, the dumbest thing you could possibly do is cull that herd or flock or whatever the case may be. It is the dumbest. It ain't close to the dumbest. It is the dumbest thing you can do. It's so stupid. It's too stupid to be stupid. This is being done by design. Well, why do you think that is? Well, let's talk about an egg for a minute. Okay. Yeah. Look at how powerful that egg is. Inside that one egg, you got everything you need to make a chicken. Okay. Powerful in so many different ways. Well, you can cut that off.
Yeah.
Boy, you cut off a whole lot of commerce. You cut off a whole lot of people's health. You cut off a whole lot of things out there.
Look at how many different things the egg is in. Yeah.
Every value-added project, yeah. Product out there.
Every baked good.
Yes, which brings me right back to this event, folks. So maybe if the powers that shouldn't be are trying to do everything they can to keep you from hearing this information, maybe you ought to think about, you know, seeing what you got to use that $5,000 to go get to this event. That's what you ought to do.
Yeah. Use that $5,000 to set up a chicken system. That's something. I mean, if you do the chicken tractor on steroids, you are independent of any outside resources.
Well, you wouldn't even need $5,000 for any of that.
That's a balling one. That's a feed the community one.
for $5,000, man, you could feed. I mean, good night, man. If you set up a chicken system with $5,000, man, you're talking. Hey,
that might be a video.
There you go.
Might be a video.
I mean, but you
better start paying taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, think about that, man. With $5,000, I mean, you think about this. You could set yourself up with that chicken tractor on steroids. You could have all the compost you could ever dream to hope about, all the meat you could ever eat, and all the eggs you could ever have. I mean, and you wouldn't need a fraction of that. I mean, you'd probably get off and running for $500. I mean, if you did it well, to make the, let's say 1,000.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could do it for $500.
You're going to have to source the material.
The majority of the money is going to be going into building the chicken tractor and the electrified fence.
Yeah. But once you get this system off and running, I mean, boy, you talk about a good investment. I mean, you could have yourself in protein and honestly veggies. Once you stop to consider all the compost you could be making out of a system like that. So there's definitely a lot to be had there, but that's going to be March 18th through the 22nd, May 2nd through the 4th. Yeah. Hey, hopefully whatever jumps off happens. Folks, there's a reason why I ain't going too far from my house right now. Okay. Mountain readiness. That's going to be May 2nd through the 4th. And, man, if you want to know how to defend yourself, you want to learn some stuff, you're not going to find at any of these other homestead gatherings. And that's another thing. A lot of these homestead gatherings, I think, that are strictly homestead, I think they're all going to go bankrupt, except for maybe Homesteaders of America because their name and their brand recognition. But outside of that, all these other folks that are putting on these homestead festivals, look, like I said, they ain't doing no good when everybody's back in the matrix. You know, maybe a homestead camp out, you know, people will go to something like that. Maybe.
Well, Midwest preparedness. That's going to be in May. I'm going to that. I'm teaching there. Joel Salatin's going to be there.
Yeah, but that's not that. That's a whole different ball of wax. That's not strictly your Homesteaders of America crowd.
No, you know? No.
No, these people. Free. Right. And these people are serious. Yeah. So when is that event going
to
be?
That's in May. I don't have the exact dates off the top of my head. But if you go to any of my recent YouTube videos, it's linked down below at the Permaculture Consultant. The Permaculture Consultant.
Yeah. So go check it out there. Man, I need to get those guys. I need to get all that information and shout it out here. Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. That's what I got my dogs on right now. I think we had some questions. Hey, put them in all capital. Hey,
Emily just said Junebug is waving to both of us.
Aww. Quit
calling that baby Junebug. Her name is June, not Junebug.
Yeah. With Junebug. Hi, sweetie. Hi, grandbaby. Okay. Yeah. Your mom got her. Well, Emily, she.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you tell her what your mom got her?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. The mom picked up June, a little baby stuffed duck, I think. But yeah, June's going to have a full blown zoo by the time this ends. By the time she grows up, a zoo full of stuffed animals. And what's crazy, she loves animals. She absolutely loves animals. She loves looking at the chickens. She loves looking at the pigs. There's a neighborhood cat that runs around. She loves looking at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Christine says, great to see y'all together. Son, you better read this because I'm...
Great to see y'all together. Love your guest, Billy, you share with us. William, I'm ready for you to come to my property still. Have kids stuff for Miss June. Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Blessings. She's not too far from me. She's over on the Arkansas side.
Oh, okay.
Past Texarkana.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know what's going on with emails sending to you, Christine. Like, I've emailed you a few times and I'm not 100% sure they're going through because you've re-emailed me before and it's something that I've definitely responded to. So I don't know. I just don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Story of my life right there. They're playing with us up one side and down the other, y'all, when it comes to emails and stuff like that. But, really and truly, it's a crazy look. My intent was not to come on here and black pill y'all, but man, there's so much crazy information that I have that I can't just tell you. What I can tell you is you need to get your house in order. I'm dead serious. You need to get your house in order. Think about your beans and bullets. Think about how you can somehow, some way, you know, resupply yourself. You know, how many people did I know? Okay, I can't even tell you how many people out there. Things jump off, man. I got all this Bitcoin. And those same people don't have any food.
Yeah, yeah.
You're waiting for a collapse or whatever you're hoping for. You got Bitcoin out the wazoo, but you have no food. A man will give, or a woman, or anybody else out there will give everything they have to keep from starving to death.
Yep.
Okay? And it blows my mind how many people got guns, but no food.
Yeah.
They got a garden, but no guns. They got.
It requires both. You can't just do one or the other, or you need to have somebody who can do the one that you can't do. Like, I understand. Yeah. Not everybody's equipped to defend the garden. Not everybody's equipped to actually garden. Some people don't have the patience for it. And I get it. But
got half of everything, peanut butter, no jelly, ham, no burger.
Carl made had a question. When will Joel talk about geoengineering?
Ooh.
I don't think he's convinced of it.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
I love him. but he's got blinders, big blinders when it comes to certain things. I never have talked to him about that because honestly, when you get into a conversation about these sorts of things, you kind of, if you're smart about it, you kind of do baby steps regarding other things. And then if the person shows a little bit of interest regarding those things, then you move on to bigger things. And with Joel, you find out that you don't even get past first base on a lot of these topics.
Yeah.
Could be that, you know, he's so taken with what he's got going on and what he's doing that maybe he just hasn't examined it. Other cases, I just think he's just not there. I mean, sadly, there's a whole lot of baby boomers out there that now I got to be careful about how I say this, but I've seen baby boomers that are wide awake and I've seen baby boomers that are so far down the matrix, they won't even consider this stuff.
Yeah, I would say a higher percentage of baby boomers are asleep than my generation.
Oh, yeah.
It's way easier to convince my generation that things aren't right than it is baby boomers. There was a question from Andres. What do you think about syntropic agroforestry?
Oh, go ahead, son.
So I think it's a great system. And it's not just something that you can apply to. It was developed in the tropics and the subtropics, but you can apply it to temperate and arid environments too. And it can be summed up by this. Like, let's say I plant two fruit trees and I plant them as bare roots and they're 10 feet apart. Well, I have all this space for like 5 years before the trees start shading it out, right? So I can grow my annual production in between my perennial production until my perennial production outshades my annual production. So that's the basic form of syntropic design right there. And it's a very, very efficient use of your land. So if you're on small acreage, this is part of the reason that smaller acreage has a higher yield per square foot than larger acreage. So I can produce more on 1 acre per square foot than you can on 100 acres per square foot, because I'm able to pay more attention to each square foot on that 1 acre than you're able to on 100 acres. So this is where yields come into play. Yields and patterns come into play. But syntropic is awesome. Very efficient use of land.
Larry says, when should I start spraying
milk? Trees with LAB milk, lactic acid bacteria. Lactobacillus bacteria.
Okay. To prevent blight. Well, make sure if you're going to do that, you use raw milk. I mean, that's what I prefer. I separate the cream, make some butter out of that. And then what's left, you know, obviously I'm going to put that into my pump sprayer and then put equal amounts of that milk with water that is not chlorinated or fluoridated. It's better. It's going to be better if that water is absolutely, distilled. That's good. That's going to be the best way to go about it.
Or rainwater.
Yeah. Or rain. Well, depends on the rain. I mean, I'd go with distilled these days. Yeah. I would have said rainwater in the past, but you don't know what's in this rain anymore. So if you can get distilled, it's going to be cool. Anyway, equal amounts of that, put it in your pump sprayer, but you want to make absolutely sure. I think you can do it any time of year, but you want to do it when the sun's fully shining, and you want to try to do it on a warmer day. You don't want to do it when it's cold.
If you're trying to do it before the blight, though, like if you're trying to prevent blight, then I would do it early spring.
Yeah. You want some leaves on there too, and you want to get the underside of them. Yeah. But you also want to make sure it's full sun, because you don't want that stuff festering on there. And the cool thing about doing that is that your beneficial guys just outcompete the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do the very same thing if you know how to make compost teas. The good thing about a compost tea is that once everything is leafed out and you put that compost tea on there, it will main, because there is a tacky substance.
Glues.
Glues.
They're making glues, basically. Yeah.
But it's tricky to get it right. But if you can do that with a compost tea, now there's a difference between a compost tea and a compost extract. If you can do it with a compost tea, it will hold that site for the entire season. You only have to do it once. That's the cool thing about a compost tea.
Yeah, and as long as you don't do any negative effects, it's a permanent fix. These things are permanent fixes. As long as you don't create anaerobic conditions, compaction, you're good to go. This is a permanent fix.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about doing that is the cool thing about doing a compost extract or a compost tea. Like a tea is meant to be a foliar spray. A compost extract is meant to go into the soil. There is a difference. And people use them interchangeably, but they are two very different things.
Like if I were to do the same thing with a compost extract, which is something I kind of have to do because I suck at compost tea. I haven't cracked that nut. But you could do like just overkill on the applications, and eventually something will stick, because something does stick. As long as you don't do it like immediately before a rain event, something will stick, and then you can build on that stickiness. It's just, whereas I could do one application with compost tea, I might do 10 applications with compost extract.
Or you might have to, like with the milk, it'll hold that space for a while, but it's not like a compost tea.
Yeah,
because it's stuck on there, and you only, if you can get 70% coverage of that thing, I mean, you have a, your good guys are occupying that space. That means, and that's the cool thing about it, is that all those sites are taken up by the good guys, your good guys, as opposed to any bad guys that could roll up in there. And then that goes right back to the soil. Because if you have great soil and you have, it's not even genetics as much as it is the soil.
Yeah.
If you have great soil, basically these guys are impervious to disease for the most part. I mean, disease was, we know about, not to mention the ones, the thing is we're dealing in a climate where we don't even know what they're spraying from these skies. And this is why I'm going nuts about this stuff, because Dr. Ed Group was talking just recently where he would tell people to do a liver cleanse maybe once every 6 months. Mm. Now he's telling them to do it once a month because people are so like filled up with nanoparticles and stuff like that, that you got to constantly dump this stuff out of you. I mean, that's exactly where we are right now, folks. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I mean, this is the world we live in right now, unless everybody wants to stand up and start fighting along with us. All right. So
you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Andre says, any advice on integrating medical device quality engineering work/experience with food growing systems and homesteading?
I don't
even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't. Man. Yeah. Hold on.
Integrating medical device quality engineering. I mean, like, as far as the engineering goes, if you could engineer a flat pack version of a chicken tractor, you'd make a killing. You'd make a killing. If you could do the one with the Chickshaw, yeah, you would make a killing.
Jane says, raw milk is not an option in Canada. I'll tell you what Stefan Subkoviak uses, and he's up in Canada.
You can also use organic milk. Like, raw milk is the best, but you can use organic milk if you want to.
Or you can use whey. That's what he uses.
Sour milk, too.
Yeah.
You know there's bacteria in that.
Yeah, you can use whey. Stefan Subkoviak, he's one of my mentors, and he's in Canada, and he uses whey. So you can absolutely do that. There's definitely some options there.
Is bone sauce available?
Yeah, we got some online. We got some bone sauce out there. I'm not sure how much we got left. I mean, it's been flying off the shelves. We actually had a little bit of decent weather when I was able to make some. And I'm going to have to. Yeah, so I'm not sure how much is left. I mean, there's not a whole lot, but we do have some on there.
William, will you be testing soil biology anytime soon? I'd like to send you some samples if you are. Yeah, so when I get back from this, there's two main things that I have planned for getting squared away this spring. Getting the soil biological testing squared away. Is that 2A Punky? Is that the same Punky? Is that Punky Johnson? I think that's Punky Johnson. I met him at the disaster relief efforts.
Oh.
He has the name of a black R&B singer, but he's this big old country boy. Cracks me up. He's an awesome guy. But yes, so there's two things this spring that I'm going to be working on. Getting the PDC squared away. The online permaculture design course squared away. I had planned on doing that earlier, but we went disaster relief and also getting soil biological tests done. I'm currently doing soil biological tests, but only for clients right now, like permaculture consultation clients right now. But I will be opening that up soon. As soon as I get back from the Sustained Me event, I'm planning on getting the soil test squared away.
Yeah, well, there's a whole lot unfolding right now, folks. Okay, we got one more question here. How can I get oil-filled salt out of the land here in Texas? Okay, oil-filled salt.
Man, the first thing you need to, I mean, I would just,
I don't even know what that, I don't know what he's asking there.
I'm assuming, he's in Texas.
Oh, oil-filled.
Yeah.
I want oil-filled. Okay, I think filled is,
either way,
F-I-E-L-D is what he meant.
Well, he might have oil seeping up out of the ground too. Either way, oil itself actually isn't the salt is the real killer in that situation. The oil necessarily isn't. All you need to do is make that oil aerobic, and then it's beneficial. Like at Jeff Lawton's, we used motor oil in compost, and there were no negative effects. And in fact, it provided a gel layer in the compost that really, but it added a gel layer, that layer that really retained moisture very well. But take a note from Jeff Lawton. What did he do with high salt soils? He planted pioneer species trees and got that established first and started locking those salts up.
Well, and then also you could check out the work of Dr. Will Spencer also, where, his work, but a number of others, the Nazis knew that oil is abiotic. It is not a fossil fuel.
Yeah.
Check out the work of Colonel Fletcher, L. Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, proves that beyond all doubt, oil, they called it a fossil fuel to create the illusion that it was, it's the second most plentiful liquid on the planet, okay? They did it to create the illusion of scarcity. And this has been known for the longest time. Oil is abiotic. The earth produces it.
And here's proof. And so, drive through Odessa, Texas. You'll see some that are in production, some of those well pumps that are in production, and some of them that aren't. The ones that aren't, you would beg the question, like, okay, why did I leave the well pump there if I'm not getting any more oil? Why wouldn't I just move that pump to the next spot that has oil? The answer is because they're going to come back in 20 years. They're going to leave it there because they're going to use it in 20 years.
Right, but you don't even have to wait that long. You have people like Dr. Will Spencer that I'm not going to tell you how he does it, but he can get these old wells kicking just like that using biology.
Wow.
How about that? Is bone sauce good to protect against squirrels? See, that's a mixed bag. I mean, I've never tested it on that, but I've had people reach out and say that it did, but I can't tell you personally. I really don't know. I've never personally tested it for that. And
Danny says it works on squirrels. Danny says it saved his mulberry trees.
Yeah, Danny said it did, but I mean, I personally can't tell you because I haven't tested it for that. And then also, some of the other things were I didn't expect it to work on rabbits.
Yeah.
And, it worked pretty doggone well. I mean, just putting them on your boxes, your wooden boxes, it worked pretty well on rabbits too. So, I haven't specifically tested it on any of that, so I can't speak with any confidence regarding it one way or the other.
Better to start comfrey with seeds or cuts? Well, depending on the variety, you're not going to get seeds. Like the Russian Bocking number 14, you're not going to get seeds. So you don't have to worry about it spreading on you. But if you use the American common comfrey, then it's going to spread on you. But with the Russian Bocking, always do the cuttings. Because what I can get like 80 some cuttings out of one comfrey plant.
That's why I was saying, I mean, the idea with us selling comfrey is to put ourselves out of business. Because honestly, there is not a herb we use more on this farm. We make comfrey hay, we make comfrey salve, we make comfrey everything.
Yeah.
And we feed it to our animals. I mean, it's crucial in the chicken tractor on steroids. Mm-hmm. They will eat that comfrey before they will eat. Chickens will eat that comfrey before they eat their food. I mean, it's that consequential. So yeah, there's so many different ways to go about it. But folks, we still got a little bit more to this day to get done around here. I want to thank everybody in this chat. I want to give a shout out to Renewed Homestead. Hey, don't forget, they have a Homestead Butchery coming up. That's going to be March 29th. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be linking up with Ben and Denise, and we're going to be processing some sheep over there. So go to renewedhomestead.com and go get signed up over there, y'all. Like I said, I'm not playing around when I said, look, you better get these skills while you got the chance, and you're not going to find a better price for what you're going to learn at this, because these processes work no matter the animal. So even though you're learning how to do it on the sheep, it works exactly the same on a pig. Works the same on anything. I mean, you want to eat a horse, works the same way there. Absolutely the same thing. In fact, we'll go ahead and put that right up here on the screen. There we go. Yep. So that's going to be coming up. And, oh, I also want to address, somebody said something about the guests that we had out here. Folks, when I had Kat, the lady who busted that chemtrail pilot, she was on with me, I think, the last podcast. The days are starting to run into one another here. But, the outpouring of – and, folks, if you haven't noticed, I mean, have you noticed that so many of the whistleblowers out there are women.
Yeah, yeah, because the men are a bunch of limp-wristed football-watching cucks. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Stay away from that atrazine.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, folks, go over there, check out her Substack, and she will show you how to track these planes over your house. Can't get them all, but you can definitely check out some. I got more. Look, I had Dr. Brian Artist on the other day, and can't do that one on YouTube, obviously. I got Dr. Lee Merritt coming up, I think, next week. And, folks, you thought Brian Artist knocked it out of the park. Wait till you hear what Lee Merritt has to say. These are people that are – these are real-deal doctors that are going to get you the truth. Lee Merritt was a surgeon, and she is going to absolutely blow your mind. So I'm going to keep bringing these people on, but folks, keep in mind that a lot of this stuff is going to have to go. If you want to see the video version of it, you're going to have to go watch it. There is no way on earth I'm going to get away with it on YouTube. So I'll have to do it over there. I'll try to give you a shout out and a heads up when, I have better information or those times when we're going to have these people on.
And you can always listen to audio. So if like a podcast day comes up, like a scheduled episode comes up and you don't see it on YouTube, check it out on audio, and it should be on every audio platform.
All right, y'all, get signed up for that Homestead Butchery course at Renewed Homestead March 29th. All right, y'all, want to thank you so much, and I want to give a shout out to Renewed Homestead for handling the chat. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
All right, y'all. Learn a new thing, channeling nature, let the knowledge ring. Rules that run deep, wisdom from sawing. Permaculture dream, let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling nature's groove. Who's got the answers? All we need to do, listen to the earth that got us through. Red seeds of shame, watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin. In the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right now.